Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
You can stick it to the man and big tech. Join our FTL social mastodon at social.freetalklive.com.
Intelligence, quote-unquote, gathering operation that apparently, according to Politico, virtually no one knows about. We can tell you about that one coming up here. But a little bit closer to home for those out in Wyoming, Captain has a story about some creepy surveillance state expansions. And by the way, here tonight, it's Ian.
And the Reverend Captain Kickass.
Indeed, by the way, Captain Kickass with a fresh new album, EP thing that has been released. I guess, can you call it an album if it's not on vinyl?
So many people don't know what an EP is.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I've had so
kids
many people go,
no
what's
idea.
An EP? It's like, well, okay, so there used to be an album.
Were they under the age of 45, or, like, what was the...
I think probably, let's see if I'm... I mean, I would think 35 and under.
They definitely won't.
Definitely don't have any. They're like, what's an EP? But, like...
Well, millennials, Gen Z, no way.
If right? you've ever owned, like, vinyl, you might know what an EP is.
Yeah.
But it just used to mean shorter than an album.
It was one of those smaller... records, right? So, like, there was the full 12-inch, and the EPs were usually, like, what, 8 or...
Well, they were actually
six?
Usually the same size as,
really?
As the full album.
Oh, see,
I didn't know that. Less songs.
But I remember they did have the smaller
They did.
Records,
there were
right?
there were 45s, mm-hmm. and then there were LPs, and then...
So the EPs were also LPs, or
yes.
No? Oh,
yes. The EPs were the
know.
Same size as an LP, but
okay.
they were
fewer
just
songs.
Right, so...
Was there still a reverse side on most EPs?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, so there used to be singles, which, of course... is where B-side comes from.
Right.
Because the single would be the
like
A-side.
6-inch, right?
No, it was just a 45. It was, yeah, 6-inch record.
Six,
yeah,
yeah.
It was just a, you know, a small record, one song on one side, and you have to flip it over to play the other song. That was the B-side.
Mm-hmm.
And so then the larger records would have anywhere from 3 to 15 songs.
Okay.
And, you know, usually anything above 10 was called an album.
An album.
Yeah. Anything under 10 might be considered an EP, depending mm-hmm. on the length. So, like, Metallica's Master of Puppets, for example, is an LP, but it's only, like, I think 7 or 8 songs.
But they're long.
They're really long songs. Yeah,
yeah
they're epic.
Yeah.
So, like, the duration of the music makes it an LP.
Mm-hmm.
So, there's all this sort of, like, sort of industry
different
standards surrounding,
yeah.
surrounding this kind of a thing. But generally speaking, if you put out... like 3 songs, that's an EP.
Okay.
Because you can't
right.
call it a
Which
single.
Is what you did.
It's not really a double. There's no such thing as a triple. Right? So that's what I did. I put out 3 songs, and it's called an EP.
It's actually called Eleuthermania, right?
It is, yeah. The Eleuthermania EP. And I have news, actually.
Oh, tell me about it, yeah.
Regarding this. So I put out the EP, Eleuthermania.
Did you break into the Billboard Top 100?
No.
No.
On Independence Day. Because Eleuthermania, for those of you who don't know, means an insatiable desire for freedom.
I did not know that prior to this album.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's, like, when I discovered the word, I'm like, ooh, that would make a good album
yeah,
title.
For
right?
sure, for sure.
And so, you know, it's been in the back of my head for a long time. So I finally put these songs together. I put them out. I did a pre-release at Porkfest and Forkfest.
Mm-hmm.
I sold, out,
sold
the,
out
of the first print of there. I've got more for sale at CaptainKickass.com. On USB cards.
Mm-hmm.
So they're custom-made Captain Kickass cards that plug into your computer. It's got all the stuff on it, all the songs, a
right.
bunch of music, lyrics. It's got music videos.
Makes sense, because who has CD players anymore?
No one. Yeah.
Who has? I mean, probably more people
what?
Have record players than CD players.
Every smart TV has a USB port.
Oh, there you go.
So you can just plug it right into your smart TV, and like if you got a sound system hooked up to
mm-hmm.
it, you're good to go. So anyway, my news is, up until now, the only place... that you can get the music videos, there's 3 of them, one for each song,
right.
Is on this USB card. However, on August 12th, which I believe is next Saturday, the videos are going live.
Ooh.
They should be everywhere. And I mean available on like Roku, on Amazon, on YouTube, on Tidal. There's a bunch of places that the distributor that I'm working with will place them. I'm also going to make them available on my own YouTube channel, which I've actually never published anything on except for a demo of the USB card. So if you can find the Captain Kick-Ass YouTube channel, you'll see that there. But August 12th will be the premiere, international, I guess, because you can get them anywhere, of the music videos for all three of these songs.
That is the nice thing about the Internet when it comes to music is there's no borders as far as distribution. Yeah. I mean, they can go anywhere, and that's one of the best things that the Internet, I think, has brought us is the ability to... to enjoy music from all around the world without having to go to the record store, if those even exist anymore. Let's go to the phones here. I got Ridley on the line. Dave Ridley here from New Hampshire. You're on Free Talk Live, and then we'll get to the surveillance state stuff coming up. Go ahead, Ridley.
All right, you guys pick the topic. One of three things. Which one is most interesting to you? Marriott White? White Marriott.
It's a man. For people that don't know, that's sadly he passed away. A long time Free Talk Live.
Actually, we could just talk about him right now. I just want to give a shout out to everybody that's attending his memorial.
Oh, that's tonight, isn't it?
That's tonight. Yeah. There will be no Beard Talk Live tonight for that reason.
That's where Peakless Mountaineer
is. And so, shout out to everybody. If you attended Porkfest and Forkfest, White was the balloon guy. He was always hanging around.
He's a professional balloon.
Professional, yes, yes.
Animal guy.
Yeah, and he would
twist him up.
He was amazing at it, and he enjoyed his work immensely. I didn't know him very well, so I'm not attending the memorial. I didn't know him that well, but like the community is certainly affected by his passing.
Yeah, he actually passed away during the Porcupine Freedom Festival. He had one of the park models at Rogers Campground that he had been living in for the summertime, basically. And so, I mean, and we did address this at the time when it happened. I got on the air and talked about it and gave my rest in peace. But I mean, if you're gonna go, Rogers Campground is probably the best place to go. Going in a place where you're surrounded by people that care about you, and you're at a place that has a meaning in your life. Yeah. I mean, there's as far as ways to go, there's probably no better way to do it.
Yeah, and where he was affecting people, in many different ways, not just the kids with his art and the balloon thing. But
now those are shoes that I don't think could ever be filled.
No,
for sure.
I don't think so either.
So there's that one, Ridley. But what were your other two?
Ultimately, we could talk about something the Texas Nationalist Movement has been doing recently.
Have you heard
about this, where they're suing people?
Let's talk about that, but what's number two? I want to hear what that number two is.
Oh, the number three actually would be this year in Free State history.
Let's go with the Texas Nationalist Movement. Definitely interested in what those guys are doing. Are you referring to their Facebook lawsuit?
No. Actually, they started doing something else. Apparently, what they're doing, people keep saying, "Oh, you guys are traitors," and "Are you guys that's illegal? You can't do that." So, I guess they're going to be suing people for defamation. I'm not advocating doing this, by the way, but they're going to be suing people for defamation if they call you a traitor for being part of the TNM.
That's an interesting thing. Now, just to be clear, I'm pretty sure they're not just going to be targeting your average Joe on, some internet website, but I'm pretty sure that they're going to be going after the high-profile statists, the people who would absolutely use the court system against them if they had the opportunity. There's a specific state representative in Texas who has made a target out of the Texas Nationalist Movement and has been talking major trash about them. So, if the opponent is willing to use the state, I mean, personally, I wouldn't want to do it necessarily, but I don't see anything immoral, per se, about turning the guns back on them and saying, look, this is the state you want. All right, well, we'll give you some state. Here's a suit for libeling us.
So what Daniel White, the president of the Texas Nationalist Movement, he was talking about a state rep who keeps badmouthing them. What he was saying was that if he badmouths them on the floor of the state house, then there's not much they can do because that's covered. Like, you're allowed to say anything on the floor of the state house,
right?
But if he says it on his, like, I guess on his Twitter feed or a conversation or whatnot, then they can come after him under Texas law, I guess. And so that's that's what they say they're going to be doing.
Yeah, I think that's interesting because, you know, one of the things we learned during the New Hampshire attempt to get secession on the ballot last year, I should say the first attempt because there will hopefully be another one coming soon, maybe as soon as this coming session next year. But during that attempt, of course, the same accusations were trotted out against those of us who support peaceful independence for New Hampshire. And they said this is treason. They said the federal government's going to come after us and, you know, so on and so forth. And then what ended up happening was there was a woman whose actual name is Karen who decided she was going to. This was after the bill was already shut down at the State House. It was over. You know, the state was that was all done with. It was over the summertime. She filed a complaint with what they call the Ballot Law Commission. And she essentially said, this is treason. These state reps who voted to, by the way, the state reps were just voting to put this on the ballot, just put the question of declaring independence on the ballot. They weren't voting for independence.
Right.
They were voting to put it to the people. Anyway, she says, this is treason. You should prohibit these people from ever holding office in New Hampshire again. And what the Ballot Law Commission did was they had a meeting. This woman came. She spoke. There's full video of this at the Freekeen Odyssey channel over at video.freekeen.com. Just look at last summer. Look for Karen, and you'll find it, probably Karen in secession or something like that. And they had a guy from the Attorney General's office here in New Hampshire. Now, these are the lawyers, right? That these are the lawyers that do things like prosecute people.
Yeah.
Okay. So they had this guy in there, and he's one of the assistant attorneys general, and he spoke to this panel, and they specifically had him address this question of, are we talking about a treasonous act here? What can be done about this? And he said, no, this is not treason because it doesn't involve violence. So, like, this is crystal clear. This is not some question mark. It's not uncertain. Peaceful independence is not a call to violence against the federal government.
Right.
And so, therefore, it cannot be labeled as treasonous. There's a couple other words they were throwing around, too, and they're not coming to me at the moment, but that were sort of similar to treason.
I've always struggled. What is the definition of treason? Do you know?
I'll have to pull it up for you. But it involves the use of violence. That much I remember in an attempt to, like, undermine or overthrow the status quo or the state. And so because there was no actual threat of violence involved here, it didn't qualify. So therefore, there's no way they could bring any kind of charges against these state reps. And the Ballot Law Commission kicked this thing right out. They shut this Karen right down. And, Captain, you have the definition.
Yeah, just a quick search says, the crime of betraying one's country, especially by attempting to kill the sovereign or overthrow the government.
Yeah, sedition. That was the other one that I was thinking of. There's a couple of other words that sort of usually get thrown around with treason, and sedition, I think, was another one, which, again, has to do with rebellion. And when you look at rebellion, you'll find that rebellion has to do with using violence.
Sedition is conduct or speech inciting people to rebel against the authority of a state or monarch.
Yeah. Rebellion is usually armed resistance, physical armed resistance against the status quo. So they literally had absolutely nothing with which to go on. And that is what's going to, that's why Texas Nationalist Movement is bringing the suit against this state rep. They're saying, look, you are saying these things about us, and they are demonstrably false. And you in a position of your quote-unquote leadership as a state representative should be held to account for lying about your own constituents in this particular case and essentially libeling them in public. Now, whether they will get any kind of monetary damages out of this, I don't know.
Right.
But it could result in some publicity. It could result in some news media coverage. How did you pick up on it, Dave? Are you just following their updates and it happened to pop in, or were they actually already getting news coverage about this?
Ridley?
Oh, we might have lost him. Dave Ridley? Ridley going once. Dave Ridley going twice. Well, still, good topic. Glad you brought it up. Definitely a big fan of what they're doing over there with the Texas Nationalist Movement. There's a lot that we can learn from that they're doing in Texas that we can learn from here in New Hampshire, because this Daniel Miller, the guy that's sort of running the ship down there, he's been at this for 3 decades almost.
Wow. I didn't realize that.
Yeah, he started in the 90s. He must have been like
fresh out
of high school.
I've seen his name popping up around this topic. And so it's like, okay.
Yeah,
and it's a pretty common name. I actually know several other Dan Millers.
Yeah. He must have been fresh out of high school or college or something, because he's not an older. I mean, he might be in his early 50s or something like that. So yeah. He's been doing this for his whole adult life. So the guy's got more experience at doing secession things than I think hardly anyone else on the planet.
It really warms my heart to see secession movements. Plural,
yeah.
You know, not just the one here in New Hampshire. You know, there's Texas. There was CalExit. There was
still is CalExit. Still,
There have been a number of these things that have popped up just in the last 5 years or so. Right. I can't think of, always in the back of my head, there was always this sort of wives' tale about Texas is the only state in the union that can secede from the United States.
Like, that's false.
Which is false. Right. Turns out it's false. But like that was always a sort of a wives' tale growing up. And I was like, well, how is that even possible? Like, how can one state have that ability and not the others? But it really warms my heart to know that we're not the only people thinking that peaceful separation, peaceful independence, you know, is the right way to go here, because the federal government cannot continue. Mathematically, no. It is impossible for it to continue.
Its days are numbered. I don't know if it's numbered in dozens, hundreds, thousands, but at some point, the federal government thugs are going to be disbanded.
Yeah.
And I don't want to see it happen by violence. I don't think that's the
answer.
None of
us do.
Yeah, I don't think that's the answer. I think they're going to end up likely disbanding themselves just through economics because, it doesn't look good on the immediate horizon.
Well, sadly, they're going to screw a whole bunch of people because of that. Right? Everybody who's not checking out of the USD in some way, shape, or form, I think is doing themselves a disservice. You can continue to interact on a daily basis. You need to, go grocery shopping or put gas in your car. You're fine paying for that stuff with the USD, but if you're holding on to it, thinking you're saving and that it's going to be worth what it's worth now a little bit later, you're wrong. You're absolutely wrong. You're not paying attention. You're not reading you're not studying economics. You're not following the pattern, right? Get your dollars the heck out of USD. Put it into something else. Put it into, I don't care,
it's
guns,
like
ammunition, real estate, something.
It's almost like a form of personal secession, right? Like you're seceding from the use of the dollar.
Yes.
In that particular case, you're stepping away from using that as often as you possibly can. Now, it's not possible to go, or it's very difficult, I guess I should say, to go 100% out of the dollar. But it can be done. Joel Valenzuela, for instance, who's a free stater that moved here maybe close to a decade ago.
Yes.
He started in 2015 after he got settled here in New Hampshire. He's been a crypto guy. He works for Dash, actually. And so he gets paid in Dash. And he's managed to cultivate and find all of these different tools that allow him to use exclusively cryptocurrency, and specifically Dash, to essentially live his entire life. Now, some of them you would probably qualify as a cheat. Because you're, like, for instance, like with a crypto debit card.
Right. Or like the gift card thing or whatever.
The gift card thing where, you go to bitrefill.com and you can order gift cards that are obviously denominated in dollars, but you didn't actually touch dollars in order to pay for them. So your hands are still clean, I would say, with that particular technique.
Andreas Antonopoulos, he wrote, "The Internet of Money and Mastering Ethereum,"
mm-hmm.
Has been living off of cryptocurrency for at least a decade.
That's impressive.
And like he'll go out on his book tours and all that stuff, and he will not accept USD. He will make the venues or whoever's having him speak or whatever. He'll be like, "Look, I can't
for him.
I can't touch the USD." He's like, "This is my thing.
Yeah.
It's what I do. I wrote these two books about it, and so I feel like I need to live it." And so he does the same thing. Didn't Nudge live off crypto for quite some time, or is
Nudge,
he still doing it?
I believe he does his best on that. I'm not sure how principled or 100% or whatever he is on that, but you're talking about a guy who is...
We had him on the show a couple of times.
Yeah. He's like a crypto traveler, so digital nomad might be the right term for that. He's one of these guys that travels around all over the world and like goes and checks out the kind of the crypto scene. And I think he actually was just recently at our, he actually came to our crypto meetup this week here in Keene. He's back
in New Hampshire.
And he was just freshly back from the Philippines, apparently. And
did he go to like El Salvador and Venezuela?
He's been to those places, I think. I'm not sure about Venezuela, maybe.
Yeah.
But he's definitely been to, I think, El Salvador. And I think he went down to the Caribbean where there's some islands.
I think when he was here in the studio, he was talking about how he paid for all of his travel, at least, with crypto, like his airfare and, you know, and any kind of, you know, Uber.
Where there's
stuff like
a will,
that.
There's a way. I mean, as far as this crypto thing goes, it is getting harder than it has ever been before. But I got to give some props. And by the way, this is not a sponsor. I am by no means like a fanatic for this company or anything like that. But I got to give props to Crypto.com for actually keeping their crypto debit cards in operation this year. This has been the year of the death of the crypto debit card in a lot of cases. For instance, Uphold.com had one.
Yep.
They shut theirs down. There's another one that I'm not thinking of.
BlockFi.
BlockFi's out of, I think they're out of business.
They're out of business completely,
So theirs is gone. There's another one called WireX that I think was coming to the United States.
I forgot about those guys.
That's not happening now. And so the Crypto.com card, I think Coinbase may still have theirs, but I don't know.
I think you're right.
I'm not on Coinbase. I'm not on these, you know, I'm not allowed to use it. I wouldn't be allowed to use it even if I was, but I've heard a rumor they may still have theirs. And BitPay shut theirs down. BitPay had one. And they closed down their cards. So, I mean, that's like four or five cards that are completely gone. Now, they all say, we're looking at other banking options to see when we can come back. We're going to come back. But they haven't come back. Crypto.com was using the same bank that I think both BitPay and Uphold were.
Yeah.
It was called Metropolitan Commercial Bank. They're located in New York. Big, you know, mega bank. Right. And Metropolitan Commercial announced in January of this year that they were going to, in their banker's terms, exit the crypto vertical, whatever that means.
Okay.
Basically, the segment of accounts that they had that were related to cryptocurrency, they were going to close them. And that's why all these guys went under as far as their crypto debit cards.
So what you're saying is there's an opening in the market for a bank to come in and swoop up all this business.
Yeah, but the problem is they're scared to death. Look what happened earlier this year. What was it, March, when these banks started failing?
Yep.
One of them was Silvergate, and then there was another one that was like crypto-friendly, and the feds targeted these crypto-friendly banks.
Yeah.
And so you can't blame a bank for saying, well, we're just going to pass on that business. But Crypto.com, the reason I wanted to give them some credit, is not only is their crypto debit card still operating, despite was having been on the bank that was closing down all their crypto accounts, they announced that they found another bank, and they found it before Metropolitan shut them down.
Right.
So they're actually transitioning their users from one bank to the next. From what I can tell, based on the email they sent out, there's no interruption in service there. So that, I think, deserves some kind of credit because everybody else just shut their card down.
Agreed.
So if you're looking for a debit card that's like crypto, what they would call crypto fuel, I don't think there's much else in the market besides Crypto.com. I mean, they're not perfect, but they're there. That counts for a lot these days. We got more Free Talk Live coming up.
Are you curious about what might be missing from your diet and supplement choices? Take a free health assessment to identify your possible nutrient deficiencies. As a certified holistic health coach, I will help you assess and prioritize a supplement program based on Dr. Wallach's recommendations. Call Linda at 833-VITAL-90. That number to call is 833-848-2590. That's 833-VITAL-90.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
U.S. USA News Update. More than 100 million Americans are under heat advisories this weekend from coast to coast. The heat index in cities like New York, Washington, D.C., and Philadelphia soared into the triple digits, given the high humidity in many areas. The National Transportation Safety Board is investigating two separate plane crashes that occurred Saturday afternoon in Wisconsin. Officials say two small aircraft collided mid-air at a regional airport near Oshkosh. A few hours later, a small plane carrying two passengers crashed into Lake Winnebago. Secretary of State Antony Blinken is calling for the immediate release of the president of Niger, who was taken captive during an attempted coup earlier in the week. The Mega Millions jackpot has topped $1 billion for Tuesday night's drawing. Jerry Barmash, USA News.
I am a non-attorney spokesperson representing a team of lawyers who help people that have been injured or wronged. If you've been involved in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident, or injured at work, you have rights, and you may be entitled to money for your suffering. Don't accept an offer you get from an insurance company until you talk to a lawyer. And we represent some of the best personal injury lawyers you can find. Tough lawyers that will fight to win your case. And they're so good they stake their reputation on it by only getting paid if you win. So if you've been in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident or hurt on the job, find out today for free what kind of compensation you may be entitled to. Call the legal helpline right now.
800-524-3810. 800-524-3810. 800-524-3810. That's 800-524-3810.
Advertising is simple. It starts with someone who has a need.
Mom!
And then gets more specific.
Mom, I want pizza.
Then we add urgency.
I want pizza tonight.
Before you know it, your GCN advertising message is reaching millions of listeners. Listeners who are definitely in need.
We want pizza!
You see, advertising on GCN is simple. Your message meets their need, and the result means new business for you. Tell us about your business, then let our super creative department go to work to craft just the right message to feed those who have an urgent need.
We want pizza tonight!
GCN has the most affordable national radio advertising rates, period. And millions of people listen to GCN radio programs on over 1,000 AM and FM and XM stations and streaming audio live. Get started today with GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. Just shoot us an email, advertise@gcnlive.com.
Appreciate what we do? Help us advertise, market, and promote for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
Number is 603-283-6160. We were going to talk, and at some point we will talk about the surveillance.
Or not. I mean,
I would like to. The surveillance state. It's apparently expanding dramatically in a town in Wyoming, and we'll get into that coming up here in a bit. But we were just talking about cryptocurrency as a tool to help people exit from the use of the dollar.
Yes.
The United States dollar.
Do it now.
Before it completely hyperinflates and potentially crashes. These are things that could happen in the future. How near in the future? No one knows. But that is the destination historically for all what you would call fiat currencies.
Yes.
Is to fail and to take down the population's wealth with that failure.
For people who don't know what fiat currency is, it's just a state currency that is backed by nothing.
Yep, that's right.
Which is what the U.S. dollar is right now.
So, one of the things you can do to protect yourself is to consider, like we said, getting into cryptocurrency. And I'm a big fan of Dash, which is digital cash. And I'm not saying that because they sponsored the show. We went after Dash as a sponsor because I'm a big fan of what they do there. And they have sponsored us in the past as well. It's been like 5 years since that happened. And the price of Dash has gone down quite a bit, actually, in that time. Of course, a lot of coins have gone down in price quite a bit. Everything is pretty much on sale right now, including Dash. But right now you can get a Dash, I think, for somewhere between $30 and $40. It's been a few weeks since I've checked the price actively, but very, very affordable. And one of the killer aspects of Dash is it's a cryptocurrency that's designed and focuses on actually being useful for spending. Nobody, our co-host, nobody and I were just having a discussion with one of the listeners in our chat room on the chat server at chat.freetalklive.com.
Yeah.
And this listener might best be described as a Bitcoin maximalist, someone who believes that Bitcoin is the one true coin, and he doesn't mind paying a 70-cent fee or a 50-cent fee on top of his purchase because he sees that as quote-unquote reasonable. And I'm old enough to remember, you don't have to be that old to remember this because it was less than 10 years ago, but I'm old enough to remember when Bitcoin fees were less than 1 or 2 cents a transaction, and now it's like 50 cents is, I believe, the median transaction fee within the last few days. And if you're buying a cup of coffee for $3 and then you have to spend 50 cents on top of that in order to spend Bitcoin, because for listeners that don't know, when you spend cryptocurrency, there's always a fee, a network fee, on top, on most cryptos, on top of the actual cost of the thing you're buying. So if a cup of coffee is $3, and it might be getting hard to find a $3 cup of coffee these days, but if a cup of coffee is $3 and the fee is 50 cents on top of that in Bitcoin, there are very few people who are fanatical enough to be willing to spend that kind of fee.
Yep.
There are some. Some Bitcoin fanatic out there might just say, Bitcoin's that important, and, spend 50 cents. But if it was a $5 fee on top of your $3 cup of coffee, would the Bitcoin fanatic spend a $5 fee to buy their $3 cup of coffee? I suspect many more of them would be saying no at that point. Don't think for a moment that hasn't happened. It's happened more than once in the last several years where Bitcoin fees have gone to 5, 10, or even higher per transaction.
Now, I wasn't here the first time Dash sponsored Free Talk Live, but I was using Dash for a variety of things before they came back on board.
That's right, you were,
Because it's fast.
Yeah.
It's fast and like bam, it's done. There's no pending. There's no you got to wait 15 minutes to an hour for the network to confirm. There's no. It's just done. Boom.
Well, you'll get a confirmation on your typical Dash transaction in 2.5 minutes, but you don't have to wait for the confirmation because it's irreversible. So and Dash has what's called chain locks technology. So unlike most of the smaller coins out there, which can easily be taken over by a 51% attack, Dash is protected from that. So they've done some really cool stuff to help ensure that Dash is really a useful currency. And there's all these cool tools like bitrefill.com. We mentioned that earlier. That allows you to spend Dash and get things like gift cards to buy gasoline in some cases. Or some gas stations.
Even just groceries. Gifts.
Yeah, gifts, all kinds of different things. But like gas, groceries, these are things you can use to live off of. And Dash helps make that possible. Plus, at bitrefill.com, you can also get a discount with many of their gift cards there. So there's some really cool stuff coming right in the very near future for Dash, including their integration into the Maya protocol, which is a decentralized exchange.
Ooh.
Now, it's just now starting to where they're accepting what's called liquidity providing. So for people that have Dash already and they want to be part of this exchange by putting their Dash up into the exchange, essentially, in a decentralized manner, and then potentially make a return on that Dash. There are ways to do that, and you should look into the Maya protocol, and there's some hoops you probably have to jump through to, get a wallet and things like that. But so that's what they're doing now. They're taking on the liquidity from people that want to provide it, and then at some point they're going to throw the switch, and it'll be open for trading. So that way people will be able to trade from Bitcoin to Dash or Dash to Bitcoin and I think Ethereum and a couple of other things. So very, very cool stuff without having to use a centralized exchange, which means no know your customer, no showing ID, none of that nonsense.
So awesome. The way to get around all of this you know, sort of government interference, you know, the throwing up roadblocks for cryptocurrency businesses and innovation, particularly here in the U.S. The way around it, of course, is to innovate around it.
That's what's happening right
now. Yep. Use the philosophy of decentralization to make the government unable to do anything about it.
Right.
That's how Bitcoin first started out. It was decentralized currency. Governments, businesses, banks could do nothing about it. It exists in violation of any government permission, and so do all these other cryptocurrencies, as long as they're decentralized. And so the way to innovate around it is stuff like this with Dash. Yep. and the Maya protocol.
I love it. I've been following this stuff very closely, even though I'm not allowed to use cryptocurrency under my bail conditions.
You can still read articles and stuff,
yeah,
right?
I love reading about this. Yeah. It's the Maya protocol is actually a fork of what's called ThorChain.
Oh.
And ThorChain's been around for a few years.
Yes,
Maya just started sometime, I think, earlier this year. And ThorChain was the first real decentralized exchange, as far as I'm aware of.
Yeah.
Because there have been quote-unquote decentralized exchanges for a few years, if not several years at this point, but they've always been focused on just like Ethereum tokens.
Right, yeah.
Or tokens on some other blockchain where you can exchange the tokens in a decentralized manner, but you can't swap Ethereum for another cryptocurrency,
right,
like Bitcoin or vice versa. And ThorChain was the first to solve that problem, to cut out the middleman and make it so it's all code. And there were some bugs. There were some bumps in the road.
Yeah.
But they've been pretty successful with it. And they keep upgrading their system. So the Maya protocol said, look, we're friendly fork. Basically, we love ThorChain, but we know that if ThorChain or when ThorChain takes off, it's not going to be able to handle the volume. So
yeah,
we think there should be a second exchange at this point that can take some of that volume.
Oh,
and
what, forethought?
And
wow,
add,
nice.
And add different coins that ThorChain doesn't have.
Yeah.
And they'll be actually interactable. So if you have something on ThorChain and you want to get the thing on the Maya, you'll be able to swap twice, essentially, and go through one to the other. So like the decentralized exchanges are also able to exchange with each other,
yeah,
in a decentralized manner.
Yeah.
And it's getting pretty cool out there as
nice.
Far as the options for, you know, protecting your own value from the
shout
the
out to all of the people who are coding this stuff.
Yes, and get out of the United States if you are a coder,
yeah,
in the decentralized,
sadly,
finance world. Luckily, Maya protocol is actually South America based.
Yeah.
So
how sad is it that in the supposed land of the free, that people who want to interact peacefully and freely need to exit the United States in order to do so.
And that's where it is now. By the way, Dash is one of the oldest cryptocurrencies. It's widely available on the centralized exchanges, and now a decentralized exchange. It's in multi-crypto wallets all over the place. It's easy to get. It's easy to use Dash. You can start by learning more at Dash.org. And thanks, by the way, to the Dash DAO, their decentralized autonomous organization, for sending us 32 Dash per month to promote Dash on the air. You can visit Dash.org to learn about Dash. That is Dash.org. Let's go to the phones here. We got Rob in Vermont. You're on Free Talk Live. Go ahead, Rob.
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
Yes, sir.
So I don't think people have to run away and go to a different country in order to be able to, you know, live a long and fruitful life in their communities. You know
well,
what I mean?
I mean, if you keep quiet, maybe the government won't bite your head off. But if you're going to be an activist, if you are especially going to be a cryptocurrency programmer or business person or entrepreneur or whatever, then there's a target on your back like never before in the United States. I wouldn't blame anybody who wanted to cut and run under that level of pressure. I mean, Aria DiMezzo is sitting in prison right now. She just completed, by the way, her first month.
Yep.
It's been 1 month since Aria went to prison. 1 month and I think 1 day at this point. And she is sitting in prison in federal, you know, it's a camp, so it could be a lot worse than what it is, but it's prison. She's not free to go and do what she wants to do.
Nonetheless.
Yeah, it's still prison. She is locked away for what could be as many as 18 months. Her sentence is 18 months, and that is simply for a paperwork violation. A cryptocurrency-related paperwork violation where the federal thugs said, you didn't have our permission slip, even though there's nothing in the law, their own precious rules, their own statutes, their U.S. code, nothing that says anything about cryptocurrency.
Right.
Anything about cryptocurrency. But yet, despite the fact there's nothing in there, she's sitting in a prison cell. So I'm sorry, Rob, I don't agree with you on this. I think if you're keeping quiet, then yeah, you can have a nice quiet life in the United States. But if what you're saying is in any way a threat to the status quo, you can expect the status quo to take notice.
Well, no, that's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is the absolute opposite. What I'm saying is that around the United States, okay, we have communities, we have towns, we have counties, and amongst all of those towns and those communities, there are bad people. Mm-hmm. And those bad people are the ones that, you know, oversee all of our communities, like your mayors,
sure,
your sheriff, the police, and all those people are all... they're all covered by qualified immunity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's
and
right.
I think that the people sort of understand that, you know, because I talk to a lot of different people about qualified immunity.
Well, maybe that can change at some point. I mean, I think you may be correct about this point, Rob, in that people are more aware now, I think, than 10 years ago about qualified immunity. I don't know how much more aware. I don't know if you went on the man on the street and you are saying you've talked to people, but it would be interesting to, you know, talk to people who are not like political types, because I think within the political scene, people who pay attention to the issues and vote or whatever, I think there is a greater awareness of qualified immunity. I think that the George Floyd situation with Black Lives Matter in 2020 brought more of that to the forefront, more awareness of police abuse and things like that. And I think that ultimately that is a good thing, and that hopefully we will see some political reform, if not the abolishment of qualified immunity. But it hasn't happened yet. It's still there. It's still in place. In fact, as of the last couple of years, the Manchester, New Hampshire Police Department was advertising it as a perk of the job. If you were to get a job with Manchester PD, you'd be qualified immunity.
They put it in their ad.
Yeah. And they did undo it after some public pressure. So that is an indicator that there is at least enough people who are upset about this to put some pressure on them. But I get what you're saying, Rob.
Right. Well, I mean, the thing of it is that, you know, the public sees all of what's going on with the fraud, the corruption and stuff. But the people have to be able to grow a backbone. And, you know, because those people are the ones that they pay all the taxes. They're all the people that lose in the end. You know, the public has to speak up a little bit more. You have to start naming names. I mean, the people that break these laws and harm peaceful people. You know, like Detective Jim F. McLaughlin, like the mayor of your team, George Hansel.
Mm-hmm. But the problem is, even if you name the names,
by name.
Yeah, I'm not saying you're wrong, Rob. I mean, certainly there's nothing wrong with calling out a thug for being a thug. But the problem is, even if you just name the names and those people get kicked out of office, the people who take over their positions are also just as corrupt. They're just as bad. And that is the nature of power. I mean, this is something that has been studied for a very long time. And, Rob, thank you for the call tonight. I appreciate it. It's something that has been studied scientifically, and we've read, you know, many stories about this over the years, that power absolutely is a corrupting influence on human beings, even if you are not a power-seeking person, you're not a corrupted person, if you have power, if you are given power, and the odds are it will corrupt. That's what they found with people. Now, there may be a rare...
The Milgram experiment, the Stanford prison experiments, those are just the first two I can think of.
Right, and there have been others as well, but you know, there may be the rare human, like a Ron Paul or something, that somehow managed to resist the temptations to wield the power that he had, but the other 534 of them sure as hell were not able to resist it. Most of them probably did not want to resist it. They got the job because they wanted the power. They were seeking it. They feel good when they are given power. They want to wield it. It makes them, you know, pleasurable to do that. And it's a sickness. It really is. So the only way to deal with this stuff isn't to name the names, but to somehow end the power. Now, how we get from here to there, that is an excellent question. I know, Captain, you are no fan of the voting system or working within the system, but how we get from here to where there's no more positions of power...
It starts with education, in my eyes.
It absolutely does, because, first of all, you're never going to get anyone to vote differently unless they're, you know, they're right. thinking differently. So it, whatever way it goes, people have to have a shift in their mindset. This is a, you know, I've used the term renaissance to describe this. I think that there needs to be a renaissance in thought about power and its nature and the fact that we don't want it, that it's not desirable, that it doesn't help humanity, that it actually holds us back giving people power, because these are not angels. They are not angels. And look, if you think people are good by nature, and I do, I tend to think people are good. Most of them are good. They're willing to work together. They're trading. They're friendly. They're not killing each other in the streets. I think most people are good by nature. If you think people are good by nature, then we obviously don't need government, right? Because people are good. We don't need somebody to rule over them. If you think people are evil by nature, then that's the reason, a very strong reason to not have government.
Right.
Because then you know the most evil of those evil people are going to go for those seats of power. It is not going to be the select good people in that evil group of people.
Yeah. To me, voting is just a way for people to remain indoctrinated.
Hmm.
Right? It gives them the false belief that they somehow are in control of it all. Right? We're the government. We're not.
No.
We are not. We never have been. We never will be. What it's going to take, you're absolutely correct. You hit it on the head, is a change in thought.
Big time.
Right? The same change in thought that occurred when overt slavery ended. Right now, some will say, well, there's still overt slavery. Okay, in like two places or something like that, right? So, but for most of the world, that thought has been eliminated, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to take that same sort of social movement, that change of thought that happened to abolish overt slavery, to abolish government. People just need to realize that it's a horrible idea. It's antique. It's barbaric. Forcing your opinion on other people is always wrong. I don't care how big or small it is.
No doubt. Let's go to Skeeter in California, who wants to grow the government. Go ahead, Skeeter.
Yeah. So, I was just going to respond to something Captain just said right now. What'd you just last say again? I forgot.
Man, you need to have a longer attention span, Skeeter.
Maybe lay off the weed, man.
I mean, he's literally the most well-named caller. I mean, I think about the attention span of a mosquito, right? It's got to be very, very, very short. Go ahead, Skeeter.
I forgot what he said, but I'm primarily calling in to argue about secession and national defense again, so don't hang up until I get to that part, but... In response
don't
to
tell me what
another,
to do, Skeeter.
Yeah, you
take well.
I don't know what show you think you're calling, but if you start telling people what to do, this is the wrong show.
Yeah,
bro.
What about secession? What about it?
Oh, I remember what Captain said. Except kids, right? Right, Captain? No.
Huh?
But when people don't impose their will on somebody.
What?
You know, except kids, right? When parents impose their will on kids, that's okay, though, right?
I stand by what I said.
Oh, so parents aren't allowed to impose their will on kids.
Forcing your will upon other people is always wrong, no matter how big or small.
Even if they're kids or, like, retards or mentally handicapped or
like
something
you?
Like that. Okay, that's fine. But that doesn't hurt because I'm not.
No, I don't think you are, but sometimes you say the most ridiculous things, man. Sometimes you say the most ridiculous things.
He is from California, so, I mean,
that is
a handicap.
I'm sorry. I forget about that all the time. I'll give you a little slack because you're from California.
Yeah, let's just avoid that question. Let's move on. Okay, so, but in response to an earlier Captain comment, I just wanted to quickly add that it's not a mathematical certainty that government will collapse in our lifetime.
I didn't say it was.
No, the U.S. dollar will collapse.
I didn't even say that was within our lifetime. I said it could be thousands of days. I don't know how long it's going
to
be.
It's mathematically impossible for the U.S. dollar to remain without hyperinflating. It's just impossible.
I didn't make a point, really, but okay, so it's not a mathematical certainty
What's
that
new?
Government will collapse in our lifetime, and that doing dumb things like repealing drug wars and wars could prolong government's life long enough for a big enough technological development can perpetuate government for several more generations. Just like with
so that's what you want? You want government to, you know, remain for several more generations?
That's what you want by repealing drug wars.
That's not what I want.
And war and fighting war and
what I want is people to wake up and realize that government is unnecessary to society. Most people believe that society and government are the same thing. Mm-hmm. They're not. They're two different things.
Yes, society is voluntary.
Is voluntary. It's just people interacting together as a community with each other. Government, however, is force. It's violence.
That doesn't happen when people are comfy. You need some type of event that makes them uncomfortable.
Well, that much I think is true. I think that, for instance, inflation is getting worse.
Yeah, like hyperinflation, for example, might be the event that it takes. I don't know.
People are definitely getting less comfortable. And I think that's also true for what's going to take to flip the scales on secession, since he did bring up secession as a topic. If people are comfortable with their lives, then they're less likely to take the idea of leaving the United States seriously. If, however, they realize that the United States federal thugs are the ones that are causing the greatest harm to their lives.
And they are.
Then they will maybe change their mind about this. However, your idea, Skeeter, is to just essentially do nothing, right? So the government gets worse faster and then more people get hurt and therefore they're going to change their mind. Is that what your viewpoint is?
Do nothing. I'm accelerating. You remember the movie...
What are you doing to accelerate?
Just voting for irresponsible projects like the California.
Okay, that's basically doing nothing.
Well, that doesn't sound like doing nothing to me. Or voting for war, maybe.
Voting is essentially nothing.
Other than voting, what are you doing to accelerate?
Well, accelerate. I try to lower revenue too. So maybe vote for. Vote for higher tax rates.
Voting.
Other than voting. Yeah. What are you, or what can other people do?
Try to get out of the system, you know.
What can other people do to accelerate the demise?
Just, you know, work within the system, take as much benefits, apply for PPP loans, you know, things like that.
Okay, so did you do that? Did you apply for the PPP loans?
I don't qualify. I didn't qualify.
Okay.
I didn't.
Are you taking welfare?
I don't qualify for that either. So
so all you can do is vote.
That's stupid.
That must be really really disappointing if you know your goal is to accelerate the growth of the state and all you can do is just cast a vote once every 4 years. Yeah, you think the state's just going to fall over because of this? Thanks for the call, Skeeter. The number is 603-283-6160. Wow, what a character.
I mean, to his credit, he keeps calling. But
he's something, all right.
And maybe that's something that he can do, right?
He is about it. So that is true.
That's fine. He claims that his end goal is the same as ours. He wants to see the government go away. But I don't believe it.
No. See, there's a means to an end. And if your means is to encourage violence, if your means is to encourage the war on drugs, which is just victimizing millions of innocent people, and you're just fine with that? That's sick. Hour 2's coming up.
Attention, your money is now controlled by the U.S. government.
Picture a world where your every purchase is monitored, tracked, and controlled by those in power to suppress the freedoms of those they see fit. Hi, my name is Jason Hansen. I'm a former CIA officer and New York Times bestselling author. And right now, I've become very focused on the impending rollout of the central bank digital currency. This is not a work of fiction. It's a terrifying reality looming on the horizon. But there is a bit of good news. I've partnered with Advantage Gold to offer you a solution. They are specialists in converting your traditional assets, like those inside an IRA or 401k, into tangible assets such as physical gold and silver. Don't allow your money to be controlled. Claim your free gold protection kit from Advantage Gold. Call 800-900-8000, 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor.
Call 800-900-8000.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices. Our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.